What happens when you go all in on your business, but things out of your own control get in the way?
That's when it came to my mind that, hey, I need to change the concept.
Today's guest is Armin Kovalenko of Dracari's Pizza, and he has one of the sickest catering setups I've ever seen.
And I didn't want to spend more money. And there was a guy who traded that oven for a golf cart.
In this episode, Armin doesn't only tell us how he overcame the impossible many times over, but he also gives us some amazing tips on his approach to catering.
And the people know that pricing is completely different. Like, people who decorate balloons, they charge thousands of dollars, but the cost of balloons is cents.
Armin is very lucky to be able to work with many wealthy clients, and at the end, he gives his best tips on how he's able to do that.
You kind of have to show that you're not doing this for money.
You're listening to the What's Good Dough podcast, and this episode is chock full of nuggets. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. And remember to always ask, what's good dough? The holiday season is upon us, and I don't know of a better gift than an Uni pizza oven. Whether you are gifting for a home pizza maker, a pizza professional, or for yourself, you got to get with Uni. Right now, they have some amazing products like the Uni Volt 12, which can get up to 950 degrees Fahrenheit indoors, all electric, baby. It's made some amazing pizzas in my household, and I truly recommend it for ease of use cooking and super hot temperatures that you can control from both top and bottom. Uni has all of the ovens that you can ever need to start your pizza business, so go ahead and check them out. The link is in the show notes. Thank you for supporting my show sponsors. Welcome back to the show, everyone. I am with Armin of Dracari's, and he has one of the most show-stopping catering experiences out there. I'm really happy to have him on and learn about him and his journey in the business. Armin, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Thanks for having me, my friend. Good. How about yourself?
I am doing so good. Thank you. And I'm really, no joke, I'm looking forward to this, because the minute I saw your setup, I was like, whoa, there are flashing lights, there's a golf cart, there are some mobile ovens. Tell me about your pizza journey and how you got to there.
Originally, I'm a dentist in Armenia. They told me that I need about 10 years to validate my diploma, and I will end up with about $500,000 debt to pay back. My diploma was kind of a piece of paper, not helpful at all. So I'm like, no, thank you. I don't want to take that route. So I'm just going to, you know, start some trade, learn something and do something new. And I started working in a restaurant in Glendale, California. It was a pizzeria. And that's where I started my journey as delivery driver, then as a cook. And then, you know, in business, you don't have a right to do big mistakes. It can just completely wipe out all the hard work that you already did. So I started working hard, and then, you know, saved some money and went to the Fresno, California, which is a little bit calmer than Los Angeles, less competition. And then I started my restaurant, 3 years in business. I sold my business and moved back to Los Angeles with the expertise and a little bit of money to start the catering business. And then I purchased the Airstream trailer. Those big, shiny trailers, about 30 foot. It was one and only in its kind. A lot of fight with health department because it was imported from China. Here, the bureaucracy, it's crazy. Like, we don't know what is this. We're just going to decline. Blah, blah, blah. Like, no. So I went to Sacramento, fight. So, but the time I, you know, got my permits and stuff to start it, pandemic started. It was just parked in my yard for 6 months. I didn't know what to do. And then I saw that people started to do those little parties, 20 people, 15 people. That's when it came to my mind that, hey, I need to change the concept. So I had a big pizza oven, those Ital Fornis, those big ones. And I didn't want to spend more money. And there was a guy who traded that oven for a golf cart. Shitty, those tailored down shitty golf carts. But I didn't have extra money to spend on, you know, do something fancy. And first, you have to validate your concept. Does that work or not? So that's where I started. One refrigerator, the cheap LED lights and stuff, and the TV mounted wrong way. I've been learning how to do the stuff. I was not like a handyman or whatever, right? And then when I see that it's picking up. And once I have that paperwork, I already got the health department permits and stuff like that. It's going to, hopefully, with Godspeed, it's going to be in all over United States. I want to make it a big franchise. Just sell simple cheese pepperoni margarita, one size, one price, nothing else, just pizza in a box. You know how fast they cook, like minute, 90 seconds. Imagine it will be in gas stations. Actually, I have to let you ask questions. I'm just putting down everything and looks like you have questions. Like, you ask
of course
questions.
I do. I'm excited about what you're saying because you are living this American dream. And we're going to talk about some more of the expansion later. You're going to have to fill us in on what's been going on through the journey because I see you doing these big parties. I see you changing ovens. I see your setup, all of this changing. But I really do want to talk about maybe how you went from dentist to cook to business owner first, because I think we need to fill in some gaps here. First and foremost, amazing that you just put your ego aside and said, well, shoot, I'm going to go from this job that's sort of valued in society as
exactly
privileged and higher up in the chain to going down to the cook, which is often looked at as like, you're at the bottom of the barrel here in terms of socioeconomic status. But you just said, F it, let's go. It sounds like, though, you saved up a good amount of money or whatever much you needed to start a business in Fresno. I like what you said about, like, you have no room to fail in business. And is that why you drove 3 hours north to start a business? Because it was cheaper than Los Angeles?
Yes. It's so crazy here, man, to rent a commercial space. Now it's a little bit easier after COVID and stuff like that. It's a little bit easier. But before, you had to pay few months in advance, huge deposit, and then contract for 5 to 10 years. You're literally becoming a slave. You're just signing up your slavery.
You're indebted to them, yeah.
It's about $40,000, $50,000 just to enter to the spot. I'm not talking about equipment and stuff like that. Just so somebody will rent you a spot. It's ridiculous.
And you said you traded an oven for a golf cart. So I know you have multiple setups now. Your newest setup is a little bit more flashy. How much does that cost you to build with the ovens?
Here's the thing. During that evolution, when I started with that shitty call, actually not even that. During the period when I've been working on my Ersin trailer. The way I got from China, it was good, beautiful, nice and clean. But when I started to go with health department bureaucracy, those requirements, I completely tear it down inside. Mm. And then that was the time I started to use the power tools and learn welding, plumbing and stuff, lighting. That was the point when I started to work on my handyman skills, let's say.
Right.
And then my first golf cart, second, and I started becoming better at welding, at plumbing, and you know, learning the LED lights and everything. Believe me, it's not that easy like people, you know, would like to believe. That's the reason why I don't have a lot of people trying to copy it, because a lot of stars have to come together for somebody to do that. They even have to have tons of money to pay some handymen to professionally do it. But are they businessmen or the pizza man? And then find the right person to make pizza. Like, you know, there are a lot of variations that have to come together for somebody to copy that. So, and then this one, the last one, I say to myself, yeah, I have to make it perfect. Because by the level that goes up, you at some point you work with some celebrities who can hire Gordon Ramsay if they want, but they hire you to make the pizza. So those loose wires, those imperfections, you don't want to see that. You want it to be perfect. So that's why I put a lot of time and money to, you know, work on this one. Didn't try to save anything, like those plastics, the metal that, you know, you usually buy little pieces. No saving at all. So spend a lot of time and money on that. Perfect welding and then sanding, painting, you know.
But it's still cheaper than than starting up a brick and mortar, would you say?
It's not even comparable. It's not even comparable. The good part is not even the restaurant. Imagine the big food trucks. They actually pay the rent or, you know, space to park. I don't do that. People pay me. I have a travel fee of $150 to go to someone's house. So it's not that I don't pay. No, they pay me to go to their house and make their pizzas and stuff, which is great. Like, sometimes I get invitations to those farmers markets and stuff, and they're like, you have to pay us $100. I'm like, go F yourself. I'm not paying you anything. You have to be happy if I'm going to be there. Now, if no, I'm not going to come there, because you can't sell pizza for $20 at the farmer's market. But that's what I charge when I do private parties. And people are paying happily because they are getting high quality service and they are satisfied. And it's a service. It's not just pizza. That's why it's $20.
So you pay $20. They pay $20 a pizza. So do you charge by the pizza or do you charge by the head?
By the pizza. Because one person can take multiple. That you can't keep track of that. And then I recommend people that, hey, my pizza is enough for one adult or two kids if they will share. So if you have 100 people, you need 100 pizzas. $2,000 plus $150 travel fee. You want it? We're going to come. No. You can order Little Caesars.
It's that simple, though? I mean, I've seen people charge by the head, and then they, like, say, well, my pizza, maybe it is 60. If I have 1,000 people at a catering event, I'll bring anywhere from like 600 to 700 pizzas. So they have a 60 to 70% pizza to person.
They can lie you. You are not going to sit and count people. And that's where the conflict begins. You're going to tell, hey, you lied me. And he's like, no, I didn't lie you. Why all of that hassle? You are the host. You are paying me up front. So you want your guests to be fed, right? So you have interest to tell me the correct quantity. And I'm telling you, I'm going to have 5 to 10 extras, 5 to 10, not more. So even if you're going to try to lie to me, because most people will try to do that, you can. And also, those 5 or 10 pizzas, it's not for free. When I reach the 70 pizzas, you told me 70. I'm going to tell you, hey, I've reached the 70 and I have 10 extras. Do you want me to go extras? Yes, yes, no, I'm going home. That way, there will be no conflicts, no problems. People know exactly. And also, even if there is like 2-hour service and they have 10 pizzas left, they have no people, I'm still going to make your pizzas and leave it on the side. You can keep it for next day. You can give it to your neighbors. You can give it to your guests to take as a to-go. No problem at all. Like 3 years already in business, no problem at all with that model.
I love that model. And I've been thinking about that model ever since I've stepped in a couple of operations. And I'm thinking to myself, that way there is no confusion.
Exactly.
If I tell them I'm going to bring 70% per head count and I'm short, or it falls on me because I recommended to them. But if they tell me I need 100 pizzas, if we go through the 100 pizzas, it's on them, right?
Exactly.
And that makes a lot of sense.
Also, those people usually, those fancy type of people, like, you know, I'm a simple guy, but if I have like mushroom leftover, whatever, of course I'm going to throw it away. But that is considered as a food waste. So if you are so concerned about climate change, about a lot of factors, about kids being hungry, at least be responsible. Let's eliminate food waste. Because if you're going to tell me 100, but there will be more or less, I'm going to throw away that food. So in order to be almost as perfect, I need to know. Because for 100 pizzas, I know I spent this much cheese, this much pepperoni, this much bell pepper and whatever. So there will be less food waste.
Are you making 100 pizzas and then they're telling you, I want 30 pepperoni, I want 30 cheese, I want 40 mushrooms? Or are you making the pizza based off what the person in line is telling you to
exactly, make? Exactly. I give them 4 options. I have 15, 16 types of pizza. The host choose any 4 types. But also we mix and match those toppings. But in order to, again, have less food waste, I need them to choose something. Because if it's going to be 15 type of pizzas, a lot of money and food will be wasted. By the end of the party, it will all go to trash can.
Before we continue on with the episode, I want to give a special shout out to Cordo Olive Oil. Truly, 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 the difference between commodity olive oil and quality olive oil is night and day. And that's why the best pizza makers like John Arena, Chris Secker, and Laura Meyer use Cordo Olive Oil at their restaurant. DM me at What's Good Dough or email me idriff@whatsgooddough.com and I will set you up with a free tasting if you are an operator. And I'm talking about brick and mortar, caterer, pop-up, anything like that. I'll connect you and get you a free tasting. Before we continue with the show, I want to give a huge shout out to Baccio Cheese for sponsoring the podcast. As some of you may know, I am a fan of pre-shredded cheese for my Detroit-style Frico. And Baccio Cheese works when it comes to taste and performance. My Frico is perfect. I'm going to be posting about it on my Instagram soon, but check that out. More importantly, if you have a pizzeria, I highly recommend checking them out. They have a rewards program, and there's nothing like buying cheese for your pizzeria and making some cheddar on the side. Am I right? Members can earn cash back for every pound of cheese purchased. And so the more cheese you buy, the more you can earn. That to me sounds like a win-win. If you want to get in touch with Baccio, let me know and I will connect you. DM me on Instagram @whatsgooddough or email me idriff@whatsgooddough.com.
Talk to me about the service, because you said it's about a 2-hour service, and I'm guessing that depends on how quantity. Many people you're serving. Quantity.
Exactly. Okay.
Do they pay you more if they want you there longer? Maybe they have people coming in early in the day and then they want to feed people later on in the day.
Do
you
have we just tell them that each pizza, you know, to have each pizza is about 2 minutes. We give you extra 30, 40 minutes. So that way you will not be rushed and, you know, stuff. But we need to be almost as exactly precise because we do 2, 3, 4 parties a day.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. If you are the last one, for example, like 9 p.m., we're coming to your house, then no worry. I can, as a customer, I can please you staying 30, 40 minutes more than I promised or give you the estimate. Because after that, that's my time. I'm going home to sleep. I can sacrifice it for you. But if you tell us 12 p.m. and you're going to start 1 p.m., that's 1 hour lost. I can't afford that. That's a loss for me. So I have to quickly make it and leave.
So if they say, be there at 12, make pizza until 2, and then guests don't start showing up until 1. From 12 to 1, what are you doing? Are you making?
I'm making
pizzas
all the pizzas anyways. I have to make all the pizzas.
Got it.
Okay. I kind of feel my calculation tells me that I have to tell the host that, hey, we already lost an hour. I have to start now. Otherwise, I won't be on time. And then they're like, okay, make 5 cheese, 5 pepperoni, because they know kids will eat cheese or pepperoni, whatever, right? So that time, just sitting and waiting there is lost because kids, doesn't matter. By experience, they will ask cheese or pepperoni. That's it. So that's kind of eliminating that lost time. And then adults, one by one, didn't have any problem yet, you know. Okay. Because when we send people send inquiries, right? When we send our description, what we're going to do, and everything is put there. We stay this much time. It's not a surprise. It's not the phone conversation. We send it to them, that information. And we ask them to read and understand that. And if they are fine with that, then we take the deposit and book the party. Without them reading the description and the information, I don't take deposit, I don't book the party.
When you do deposits, are they paying you how much?
It's just 150. Remember I told you I have travel fee 150? That 150 is paid as deposit, and we just hold the day. And that's going away from the total amount. It's not something extra. They're just paying up front, but it's non-refundable. If they cancel their event, it's their loss, because I am rejecting someone else's request to get yours. So if I'm going to lose you because you canceled that, I'm going to lose that person because you booked us. I'm losing more than you. That's why that amount is not refundable.
But if they cancel and you lose out on, and you make $150, don't you lose more in prep and ingredients and all of that stuff? Like, you've already prepped for that party.
Technically, yes, but I never had the last day cancellations. Usually it's like 2 weeks, 3 weeks, something like that. And even if that, what I do is, what I will do is, like, next day I also do street vending. And my customers follow us on my the Facebook page, all locals. If I'm going to put that, hey, today I'm going to have this other pizzas other than cheese, pepperoni, and margarita, because that's my menu, they will come and just, you know, finish everything, because it's something new that they want to try.
And are the pizzas for street vending the same price as the catering?
No, street vending is $12.
$12? Oh, why do you do that?
In the marketing, like, you know, sometimes companies can even give you a free meal, like something to hook you up. That's kind of the same strategy. I give you cheap, you like it, then you hire us. Like all those cigarettes with the jewels and stuff, they can give you a free cigarette so you can later on buy the cartridges from them. Or the Coca-Cola company giving away free refrigerator with the ice maker for free. So you're going to buy syrups from them. That's kind of the same logic. Also, you can sell it for $20. It's not reasonable for street vending because it's not service for personally them. I don't put effort for one person. It's for like 50, 60, or how many customers you're going to have. So divide that. But when I come to your party, that effort is specifically for you. And the people know that when you do catering, pricing is completely different. Like, people who decorate balloons, they charge thousands of dollars, but the cost of balloons is cents. That's your time and effort that they put specifically for you.
I love that you said that, because I've spoken with a friend who was dealing with that same issue, and they said, well, you charge $25 for a pan pizza. Why are you charging me 30 or 35? But the reality is, you're taking over your whole setup to their house, and you're making an experience specific to them. They didn't have to have these pizzas hot and fresh, right? You're making it specific to them in their order, and it's going to be a completely different experience.
And also, like, even look, massage, basic massage. It's $20 per hour if you go to someone else's place, brick and mortar space, $20 an hour. It's ridiculously cheap. But then when somebody else is coming to your house to do a massage, you pay $200-$300. I don't know how it's pricing over there, but that's what they pay in Los Angeles. One session, two hours or so, you pay $200-$300. I mean, people know that when it's something specifically for you, it's going to be expensive. And if you don't like that, go buy Little Scissors. That's it. You know what? I'm going to tell you something. It may sound a little bit arrogant, but believe me, I am not that guy. When people start to negotiate with me, I'm not going to take their order anymore. I had a guy telling me, hey, I have 100 guests. I need 100 pizzas. It's going to be like $2,000, but I want to pay you $1,000. I'm like, no, thank you. And then like 1,500, 1,600. And then he's like, okay, I'm going to pay you $2,000. Just like you've said. I'm like, sorry, I'm not going to take your order. I'm not going to work with you.
You're going to be a problem later down the line.
Exactly. Or every single person who does that later on will give you a problem.
They're going to ask for a discount when the final payment is there. They're going to say the pizzas were burnt. They're going to say something.
100%. Not 99, 100%. I already had that experience in my restaurant when I had that Fresno restaurant. Over here, I'm not going to repeat same mistake.
Yeah.
But you can get 200, 300, 500 people. I even got $1,000 just the tip. When you do your best, they will do your best for you. Imagine $1,000 just a tip, not the service. So if you know that the person is negotiating on the $20, $30 on a pizza, forget about tip too. Why take your party if I can go somewhere else and possibly give them a good service and also make some extra money with the tip?
Out of 10 events that you do, what percentage of the people tip and what is the average tip if you have an estimate?
I will say 90%. 90% tip. And at least 100, 150, that's the, you know, average tip. My community, most of the my community I work with Armenians, that support is unreal. Like, I have my guys working with me, like, seeing how things goes, and they're like, man, I wish our community was like yours. Because they may buy a pizza for $12 and then give me $20, $30, and just like, it's good, brother, it's good.
Hmm. Okay, I get that. And so sometimes I do a lot of fundraisers for the nonprofit that I work with, and then we've been going back and forth on whether we say pizza is $12 or pizza is donate however much you want. Again, this is for charity, but it's almost the same thing. I'm sensing that you think it's better to just say leave the tip open-ended versus charging a gratuity fee at the end of your bill. Is that, have you ever considered adding a gratuity at the end?
Never. Staff? Never.
Never. Never.
Never.
Okay.
If Why? We do a good job, because I 100% know that if I do a good job, people, that tip culture might vary by cities or countries. Here, that tip culture exists. It's something that exists in this industry, not the street vending, but in the catering event. It exists. If they won't do that, good for them. If they do that, good for them. But we always do our best. And as a result, 90% of time, people tip us and they tip well.
Okay. So one thing I wanted to ask about the $12 a pizza is, are you breaking even on that? Are you losing money or are you making money?
Honestly, I'm not losing money anyways. Pizza cost, as you know, is low. I'm not going to say how much low because, you know, it's kind of insider thing, but it's not something that I'm going to lose money. And also, I don't pay rent. I don't have a lot of overhead. I can't even work myself. My guy right now, he got a full-time job. And he's like, hey, Armin, I can't come anymore on the street vending. I'm like, no problem. And then I got those rotating ovens. So his job was to rotate the pizza so it will not get burned and also take cash and whatever. So now I have the rotating pizza oven that doesn't burn my pizza. I just slide it in and start building next pizza. After 1 minute, it's exactly ready. I put it in box to put it there. Also, I added Venmo, Zelle, and the credit card virtual paying ways. So there is almost no cash too. So I don't even take my clothes to take cash and whatever. You know. So I can even work myself. So there is literally no overhead too. But that's not the way how I make money. I make money by caterings. It's just like your showroom, just like Tesla have showrooms, right? You go see the car and then order it. They can't test the pizza or the catering.
I fully believe that is a great model. I always used to look at people who do pop-up should really be focused on getting their next catering client because you can only make so much money on a pop-up and you can only charge so much. But the catering world, there's so much more that you can charge because of the experience.
Also, and if I want to make more money, I can just add a lot of stuff like unlimited ranch, for example. You can buy it for $15, charge $50.
That's what
a lot of like little things. And also I have other models I'm working on right now. It's the different type, not just pizza. for the pizza, you still need skills, right? To build the pizza and stuff. I'm not going to tell you what exactly because there is nothing like that. I know a lot of people follow you who have businesses and they follow me too. I don't want to give them my ideas before I'm going to do that. So I'm building a concept where I can hire anybody from street and they can come and work right away. And I can still have multiple events and stuff like that. So that will eliminate the need of skilled labor, which is hard to find.
That was my question is like, do you do anything outside of pizza in order to generate more income? So I see ranch as an option. Do you do appetizers or anything like that?
No, not really. Not really. Like I keep it super simple, but eventually I'm going to do that too. And I'm going to create another type of menu, more pizzas and stuff like that. More things like add-ons and stuff, like Nutella pizza. Like I didn't know it's going to be popular. I thought it's a stupid thing. And then I had a couple of parties and they're like, Nutella, Nutella, Nutella. I'm like, come on, man. The pizza guy is here to make some delicious pizzas for you. And then your Nutella pizza, just imagine the pie, Nutella, and some banana or strawberry. That's it. And they enjoy it. Okay. I'm like, all right, if you want it, I'm going to put it on menu.
Okay. One thing I have to say is that even in LA, because of my understanding, your pizza is, in my opinion, very affordable. Have you ever thought about raising your prices? And even on the catering side too. Even on the catering side, $20 a pizza, is that not... That's how much you can order a pizza.
It is. Here's the thing. Like I told you, the people I work with, Armenians or millionaires or very rich people, here's the thing. The tips that they gave me and the fact that they worked with me 3 years ago and I didn't change my price, they appreciate that. Everybody knows inflation is high, products are expensive, and I'm telling them that, you know what? I don't want to change it now. I don't want to do that. But they, by the end of the party, believe me, they will make that difference. I didn't feel the need to do that yet. If I'm going to go to different state, country, or whatever, depends on what I get back from my customer. Of course, I may raise it. If I get $0 tips, if I get this, of course, I have to do that. But for now, I feel that people more appreciate that stability and they show you in return.
Yeah. Well, part of the reason why I wanted to raise that was because you're interested in doing a franchise model. You want to be a franchisor. And it seems to me like you have low overhead. I don't know if that means you don't have to pay for storage of your vehicles or if like you have a hookup on a commissary. But I'm thinking, if you do that in other areas, people may have to pay for that stuff. And so I'm wondering if you do become successful in this franchise model, if the prices will go up inevitably.
Still, price of the what's the name of it? Commissary. First, not every city or state has that commissary rule. And still, here is the golf cart size. It is not too big and it's like $200-$300. And also, legally, I am allowed to, you know, use a restaurant as the commissary. Still, even if you're going to pay it, it's about $500-$600 for the commissary. If you're going to divide it by day or by month, how much you work, it's not going to make a huge difference for you. So, if you have a gas station, that's what I'm going to tell you. So the franchise is going to be with the gas stations. The person, the investor who I'm going to choose and they're going to choose me is going to have connections to sign up a gas station chain as a partner, and we are going to be exclusively in their gas station. So we're not going to pay you rent. In exchange, we're not going to sell sodas. Cans, like person who gonna come and buy a pizza, they want a soda with that, Pepsi, Coke, whatever. What they do, here's the gas station, go buy it. And by the time they wait for their pizza, a minute or two, who knows, they 80%, 70% of chance that they will also fill up their gas tank because they're already there, stopped. That's why it's profitable for gas station. It's profitable for us. So forget about the rent as well. There will be no rent. And it's still going to be one-man operation. If you want to, good for you. But it's possible to do one-man operation. That's what I do.
Yeah, I like how it seems like a very lean operation. And I'm also sort of interested in how you are able to push out 2, 3, 4 events. You said, you know, the timing is important. But when it comes down to it, are you just finishing the event, you go back to where all of your stuff is stored, and then you go back and then you go forth? Or do you carry a trailer with you that has refrigeration?
All of them. I have refrigeration. I have on my cart first for the first event. For the second event, if I'm going to use that specific cart, I have Cambros, those plastic NSF-approved refrigerations that will hold my stuff for 2-3 days cold. Super cold. Mm. You put that the ice unit in it, you close it down. Even if you forget about your food after 2-3 days, you open it, still cold. Those are really good. But I also have 2, 3, 4 different carts. And some house, maybe the big cart, the one you saw, some house, maybe the mirror cart, which is a little bit smaller. And another house can be the cart on the wheelchair. I built it on wheelchair. So all those setups are ready, and the toppings are ready in the combos. So I come back, I hook it up, go there, go, you know, and my wife can use my other cart with my trailer. And that's how we set up everything. Like, but I allow about 1 hour problem in case like flat tire or something like that. But even for that, I have every single resolution in my trunk. I have spare tire, I have car repair stuff, the air hose, everything. So if it's not like China Nuktas already or something like extraordinary, we will be there on time.
I love that. You know, yesterday I went to Vegas. Oh no, Saturday I went to Vegas for the Las Vegas Pizza Festival. This was my first time booking Spirit Airways. But I have never flown Spirit because people always talk shit. They say, Spirit delayed my flight. I had such a bad experience, blah, blah, blah. So you know what I did? I booked a Southwest flight also after my Spirit Airlines flight, just in case my Spirit Airlines flight gets delayed or canceled. Because I need to be in Vegas Saturday at 1 p.m., but I'm leaving for Saturday. I normally, you know, don't do same-day trip turnarounds, but I was like, I need to leave at 7 in the morning. And so I booked my extra flight on Southwest. Fortunately, Spirit went through. And I canceled my Southwest flight as soon as I got to Vegas.
That speaks about responsibility.
I made a commitment to be there on time, and I'm taking a risk, but I also know that I can control so many factors. I can do all the preparation that I can do. And if all flights get canceled that day, then it was, you know, an act of God, and I can't do anything about it. But if I can control what I can control, then hey, I did my best. And so I like what you're saying in terms of being as prepared as possible. Genius.
The first time I had problem with my trailer, I had a flat tire. I had no experience back then. What I'm gonna do? I quickly stopped hooked up my trailer. I left a friend with the trailer with the cart on it on a freeway. Imagine I just exited, left it there, went to the U-Haul. I found the U-Haul, hooked up a new trailer. I came back, put it there, and I went to the party, and my friend stayed with the trailer because I didn't know by then that I have to change the tire and stuff like 3 years ago. Some after that, I bought every single car that I have. I have tire repair patches. I have extra jacks. I have everything extra, every single car. So there is, it's not like I'm transferring from there to there. No, I have to be 100% ready.
Genius, 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 genius. Great work. Let's talk about, we have a few minutes left. Let's talk about I've seen you do high level clients. I've seen the parties that you're at, and I'm like, right. Oh my goodness. This is crazy. Like, it's all like the houses are bossed out, man. You're in the hills. You're in a highly decorated Halloween event that people are dropping money at. So tell me, how are these people finding you?
If you're rich, your friends are most likely rich too. When they see you doing something, they don't want to get past. And that's why they hire you too. So, hey, you impressed us. Okay, next time we're going to impress you. I don't even advertise at all. Zero advertising. Like, we get those influencers like, hey, will you collaborate? I'm like, what do you mean collaborate? Like, doing a free party for you? So you're going to put a post about us? Are you, unless you are Kim Kardashian or Dan Bilzerian, I'm not going to do anything free for you. And though, like, people, celebrities who hire us, they pay us. Why do I have to come and work with you that I don't even know who you are? Like, you posted some type of weird shit on TikTok and got famous, and now you think everybody has to work for free for you? No, man. Like, so there's people, we go to those houses, their friends take us our business card, and they imagine how beautiful it will be in their event. Next time you see the same, almost same people, hey, oh, it's same person. They took our business card and then they hire us. It's a chain. Once you are in it, you're just going to thrive. You're just going to get bigger if you do a good job.
Does the quality of your business card matter?
100%. If it's mine is like gold embossed, it's a little bit up at the dragon part. And now I'm going to go even further to the full metal cards.
Holy shit.
That's a little expense when you look at what it brings you.
Genius. Yes, I admittedly picked up business cards last minute for Pizza Expo. I got them shipped from Canva. They turned out like shit. I was so pissed.
It's not even from Canva, I'm telling you. It's not even from Canva. Canva hires those small mom and pop shops and that pays them peanuts. And you order from Canva thinking it's from Canva, but Canva doesn't do anything. They just, you know, send your order to that mom and pop shop. And because Canva already take a lot of percentage from these poor guys, they have to try to save as much money as possible. So they will try to do the job, but on shitty material, on cheap paint, on whatever, that's what you get.
Yeah, that is what you get. I had to throw away half of those cards because they weren't even solid black.
Listen, I am the type of the guy that will always try to save on anything, literally anything. A lot of stuff I can get free, a lot of price for 10% of price, but there are items that you don't want to save money on it. You have to pay premium for that because that's what brings you money. And business card is exactly like that.
Any more things that you don't cheap out on off the top of your head?
Yes, one more important thing. Let's say a customer told you that we have 70 pizzas and you said, hey, I'm going to bring 5 extras and whatever. So I don't charge them for it. I tell them that I have to charge it. I don't charge anything. I tell them that I make it, but it's from me. It's good. You kind of have to show that people that you're not doing this for money. You're doing it because it's fun for you. You enjoy that. And the reality is that I enjoy it. I'd rather do this all my life than, you know, go back to dentistry. And when you do something enjoying it, providing people the best service that you can provide, believe me, 9 out of 10, they will appreciate it and show that appreciation in terms of tip or in terms of hiring you for the next event or whatever. Repeated customer is a huge appreciation already. I have repeated customers. They booked me 1 year in advance. 1 year in advance. It's not a wedding or something. It's a birthday. They're like, hey, I'm going to pay you the deposit for after year for this day. I want you to be here no matter what's going to happen. After 1 year, I want you to be here. That's a huge compliment for you. You have to understand that. They know that somebody else can book you for that day. They don't want you to have somebody else. They want you.
That's amazing. One random question. What is the most popular style of party? Is it birthdays, baby showers, weddings, random themed parties? Do you have any insight on that?
Birthdays.
Birthdays.
After birthdays comes baby showers. After that comes weddings. Weddings is not a lot. I don't know why. I didn't think about it yet. But also school events. I charge a little bit less for school events. Or if they don't want to pay ahead, but I'm not going to pay them to be there. I have a couple of schools I work with them. So right from the beginning, I tell them that, guys, these days, especially weekends, I can be somewhere else charging people this a lot more than I charge you, but I'm not going to pay you anything. If you want me to be there to be part of your party, I can be there, but I'm not going to pay anything because I can't sell my pizza for $20. That's ridiculous to sell $20 on the regular event. I don't want to do that. You have the max you can do is 15. And also you don't charge travel fee. Nobody tips you in large. So that's why when I work with schools and stuff, no problem. I'm not going to charge you. But whatever I make is, and also it's like a lottery. You can go there and sell like 30 pizzas. You don't know how many vendors they're going to have. You don't know how much people that, how much money the people will spend. So it's lottery. So don't pay anything for school events or those farmers markets. You have to be desperate to pay them. That's my opinion.
I'm trying to think back. When you first got started, how did you get clients? Were you just doing street vending? Because I often think that people are willing to pay this when they're just getting started.
Well, I started catering with my big Airstrom trailer. We have an Instagram page here, US Armenians. My wife paid them $400 or $500 and didn't even tell me for the post that, hey, this is catering, blah, blah, blah. Because she knows I don't trust, I would never pay $500 to anyone to advertise me. But that was the first when we just started. Nobody knows us, nothing. And then we had our customer, Mary, and we're good friends with them. After that party, their friends started hiring us, and they're their friends, and then their friends, and I have never advertised after that. It was one time we paid for the advertising, and that's it.
Okay. That is a fair point. I think for people, it is a lottery, like you said. You may pay for that school if you're not the type of person to be like, I'm not going to pay you to come. But if you do pay, you may find that your advertising dollars are worth it. But you could also find that your advertising dollars are just lost to that school. And so
exactly.
It is, you do have to get lucky sometimes in business, right?
Right.
Okay. Armin, we are at our time here. Is there anything you want to leave the audience with?
I know a lot of businesses follow us. Follow you, follow me. I appreciate people who, you know, text me and ask me questions. They tell me that I inspire them to, you know, do something. What I want to ask is, even if you try to copy somebody or do something, you get inspired, try to do it a little bit differently or try to add your stuff or just get the inspiration. I hate when I see it 2-3 times when they try to do exactly what I do. Like, if you're going to drive nearby, you will say, hey, this is Armin. Like, this is my guy, but he's not. So if I ever inspired anybody to do something, please do it a little bit different so people will not confuse you and me. Because I really, maybe other people are different, but when I know that something is mine and I put my time, my energy, I don't like see people just steal that idea. It's normal. That's the way of life. And I understand that. But I really hate to see that.
Amazing. I love that advice. Also, if you just copy somebody, you're never going to be as good as them. If you copy Armin, your clients are going to be like, oh, this is a great Jackery's pizza. And then you're going to have to say, no, this is my pizza. And then they're just going to think of Jackery's the entire time.
That happened. It was not a pizza. It was the shawarma truck. And originally I helped my friend to do that. And people have been coming and complaining to me like, hey, this is bad, this is bad. I'm like, guys, this is not mine. I just helped them to, you know, put the lights and stuff, help them because that's my friend. But the complaints, it's not mine. So same with the pizza. If they somebody does shitty job, everybody will think it's me, but it's not. You know?
Oh, that's the bad side of people copying you. Wow, yeah. I didn't even consider that.
Yep.
Amazing. Armin, I'm going to have to invite you on again if you're game, if you haven't, you know, gotten too big for me. I so, so, so appreciate
you. I will be always the same simple guy, brother. Even if the next time I will be a millionaire, I will be the same simple guy.
I love that. I usually ask this in the beginning of the podcast, but I'm actually thinking about moving it to the end as a way to close off. But I have to ask you, there's no right or wrong answer to this question. Your opinion, what's good dough?
No, you got me with that question because I always look at their business name and I'm like, yeah, this is fun. When people ask, my main language is not English, but I know when people meet each other, what's good dough? And then you mixed that with the idea of pizza. I love that. But I don't have no answer to that. Like 63% hydration. I don't know. I know you don't ask about that. But thanks for having me.
Thank you for being here, Armin.
It's nice that somebody is doing this job. Like somebody had to do this, and I am happy that you do this very professionally. I will tell you this because you give time for your guests to speak, not just, you know, speak, speak, speak. But that's important part of that's why Joe Rogan is successful. The couple of other podcast owners, they know how to do that. And you exactly nailed it.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate the love and the respect. And again, I can't wait to see what you do in this life. I wish you all the success.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
See you next time.
Well, there you have it. My conversation with Armin Kovalenko of Dracari's Pizza. Goodness, so fun to say that. And I hope you really enjoyed this one because I sure did. If you did enjoy it, please do me a favor, reach out to Armin and let him know what's good dough. Also, if you know a caterer, a pizza operator, or anyone who would appreciate the show, share it to them. You can copy the link and send it over via text or email, or share it as an Instagram story. I'd greatly appreciate the help in getting the word out about Armin's amazing story and tips, as well as this podcast. I appreciate you. I love you. Until next time, peace.